Blog Talk Radio.
Mando. The only thing I can't do now is hear myself and hear the show in my headphones.
Okay, so you are very low wherever you are, but wherever you were before with the mic up in your mouth.
Better, Noah?
Yeah.
Is that, like, okay or great?
Look, I always prefer the mic should be, like, here, not you talking over it, but you talking into it like that. It could be a little bit off to the side to not cover your face, but that's perfect, like that. If you can leave it up like that, but now we can't hear you.
Is that good? Still bad?
Yeah, yeah, there.
Tests.
Okay, it's fine. And just, can you boost the level of your mic a bit?
Yeah, it's all the way up now.
Okay.
All the way up. Am I right?
I agree.
Okay, good.
This is good enough. Like, can you actually hear me?
Or you can lower it. You can lower it. Lower it.
The full Robbo experience.
A drop.
I didn't change anything from when you just said it was.
I think your device is gonna go kablooey soon.
I'm sorry. The right one. The left one is the microphone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How's that? Good. Yes. No.
Yes.
Better.
Yes,
that's good.
Good. Good. Good.
All, right. All over each other. Bunch of boondocks.
Audio's good?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The Metal Injection live cast
recording,
starts.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Go. Stop that. Oh, actually, let me change my preferences to not record every track separately, because that really
takes a long time to
I need to remember to turn it back on when I do interviews, though, because that's what I
Like a you problem.
That does sound like a you problem. You're right. Okay, here we go. I'm muting everyone. Bobka's just having fun on the couch. Okay, here we go.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection livecast. There was a heart. Oh, perfect. 2,000 maskless old men with pre-existing conditions mashing and wheezing all over each other. Bunch of boondoggle mother. Oh. The Metal Injection has to start.
Wait, I'm wheezing.
Wait,
just from that
are
intro.
They wheezing or whizzing? I couldn't get that.
Probably whizzing and wheezing. Welcome to the Metal Injection livecast. It's Rob here with my three closest friends.
Oh.
Noah, Sid, and 3D.
In that order?
Welcome. No. No order. Yeah, I love you all equally.
Oh.
And it is episode number 617. And we're so excited to be with you here. We're alive. The weather is warming. Spring is in the air. And thank you for being a part of the show. And if you want more Metal Injection livecasts, you can always hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. What do you get at our Patreon? Well, at $5, not only do you get two bonus episodes a month, you also get access to all of our more recent episodes and the video versions of said episodes. And you get a fancy little Discord badge if you're on our Discord chat. And we're also going to be doing some Zoom hangs pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things we're talking about doing is doing a sunflower seed eating competition.
A shell-off. Can we please call it a shell-off?
We can call it a shell-off. I'm very excited. The Israeli sunflower seeds are back in stock at my nut store.
Wait. Wait a minute. I thought you liked the Turkish shells, seeds.
Let me explain.
Oh, God. What did I set off here? What did I shell off here?
Well,
I want to call this the Metal Injection livecast shells out.
So I want to say, I do like the Turkish sunflower seeds. They are, like, if you think of the traditional, like, David sunflower seeds, it's like that on steroids. They're three times as big.
Bigger.
It's just bigger, yeah. And what makes it better is because it's bigger, it's easier to de-shell.
So are we going to have some rules for this shell
yeah,
out?
Yeah, is there, like, a standard size?
No, I don't think there needs to be a standard. I mean, it's up to you, but... These are Israeli sunflower seeds, and they're white shells, and they're like softer and more delicious. I've only seen them at this one store. I've tried to look for them online, can't find them anywhere. I don't know what weird distribution the store gets.
I have a great name for this pay per view. You ready? Helen D. Shell.
I love it. Helen D. Shell.
And it's going to be against your shout-out nemesis, Ash Bozalov, right?
So here's the thing. Ash, I believe, is the one who challenged me, but this is an open challenge.
I challenged you to challenge Ash Bozalov, who I don't even – okay, it was on Instagram. I just saw that he posted a photo.
I believe it's a she.
Oh, sorry. So I saw that she posted a photo of her sunflower seeds. And I tagged Robin it.
Who's Robin? I don't know.
Joseph Robin it Biden.
So I just want to say, I think the rules need to be one seed at a time, right? You can't just throw three or four sunflower seeds in and just like spit out the shell, right?
Why?
One at a time.
Whatever your technique is.
One at a time. I'm laying the...
It's going to take 4 hours? One sunflower
seed
at a
time?
No, 60-second
countdown.
Here's the thing. It's 60 seconds. Exactly. It's how many can you eat in 60 seconds?
But
so if you shove 10 in your mouth...
This is like honor system. We trust you to count how many you've
eaten. How do we know
who won?
Well you see. Honored. Can't you see? Yeah. Look, here. Let me start eating sunflower seeds. Let's do a demo. So before I do this demo, I want to say anybody is invited to this show.
Here's how I suggest it should happen.
Okay.
You get each of you have a bag of sunflower seeds. You weigh the bag before the contest.
I'm eating sunflower seeds
right
now.
The contest happens, and then you weigh the bag again, and whoever has reduced the most weight from the bag.
You trust him to weigh the bag, Sid?
I guess that's a good point.
And also, a lot of people don't have scales.
Give Ash enough time to purchase the scales.
Beyond that, though, I just don't like the idea that someone can shove just 20 sunflower seeds and just mash them and not necessarily, you know, separate the seed from the shell and just spit it out and then that would count. I don't want a repeat of a Godstopper situation. I've been screwed by technicalities before. So we need
Godstopper will eat the shell.
You cannot intentionally eat the shell. Look, sometimes a little shard of shell might get in, but you have to make your best effort to de-shell.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm good at solving problems like this. I'm an efficiency expert. All right.
Look at how fast. Who could stop me? Look at how fast I am.
What exactly? So you said you don't want anyone to cheat, and so on and so forth. Give me a list of everything you fear may happen, and I will come up with a solution.
Just that people will be shoving too many seeds in their mouth and not actually separating them and just like crushing.
Oh, and then spitting them out.
Spitting them out. That's my only concern.
Okay, so
that's
so
why I think it should be one at a time.
So eating them with the shells is illegal. We can establish that. And cracking the shells while they're in your mouth is illegal, right? Correct?
If it's one, it's fine if it's one, I think. Because
we can't have ambiguities here. You have to have...
Well, because here's the thing. Some people say, my technique is to hold the shell. But some people might have the technique to put it in their mouth. But I guess that would be hard to discern on webcam. You know, like, how would you know? Right.
I say, here's my proposal. You tell me what you think of this. You must de-shell all the shells first and then eat them.
What do you mean?
Like, you have to de-shell the seed completely and then eat it. You can't crack it with your mouth, and you can't... put them in your mouth with the shell on.
So how I'm doing it is fine?
Are you eating the seed?
I don't know. Is there another way?
Okay. Can I offer my suggestion?
Go ahead, Noah.
Might be unpopular. But how about, since not everyone has a nut store in their neighborhood to go to, what if we just buy the regular standard shells that are available at every supermarket, the David ones, and we all buy the same size bag, and then at the end we hold up the bag and we see who got through the most. You could, like, kind of squeeze the tube down to see who has the
most. Oh, but there's different David bags. There's the the rectangle bag.
That's what I'm
saying.
We all agree on the same bag. Or we could just do it until the bag is finished.
I have another plan.
No, I think it should be a time limit thing.
Here we go. I got a plan. All right. There's three of us here. Sid, me, and Noah, right?
Yes.
Let's say you have three. We'll have three people in. Let's say we have three people in this thing.
Right? I hate that you got me on this. I can't put away the shells.
I don't know that we're going to get more than like two people playing against you. Let's assume we have two opponents for Rob, okay?
Each one of us is assigned to one of them, and we're just tracking that one.
Like the hot dog contest.
Yeah. Oh, that's,
Wait, go on.
Okay.
So let's say I have contestant two. I'm just staring at them, and I'm watching what they do, and I'm counting how many shells actually go in their mouth.
Okay.
So we have two.
Right. If we wind up getting more than two opponents for Rob, it may be a problem.
But. Well, here's the thing. I will do rounds. We could do, like, elimination rounds where, like, I could do it against two at a time. And then the winners of those can face me in the ultimate final round.
That's brilliant. I think we've hammered this out.
You are going to be so constipated the next day. Are you sure you want to sign up for that?
Constipated? I think you have it all wrong. Sunflower seeds give me the opposite effect. They clear me out.
So the next
they
day
clear me
out. You're going to have a shit off.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did Ash accept this challenge, Noah? Or are we, like, just assuming?
I'm assuming.
Ash, if you're listening to this, I sent you a message yesterday on the Patreon to try to schedule all this. Please reply if you're actually interested in this contest.
And if you're not, it's okay.
It's fine. But then if other people are interested, please let us know.
Yeah,
and thank you for
just needs an excuse.
Yeah, and thank you also for – I don't need it. I'm going to eat sunflower seeds contest or not. I've been enjoying them quite a bit lately. I've been going back and forth between sunflower seeds and Turkish pistachios. In the winter, I was strictly a Turkish pistachio kind of guy. But
now, Rob, may I ask you a slight topic change before we get into these old men coughing and sneezing on each other?
Yes.
I just want to ask you, what is your background image? If you could describe it for the audio people briefly. And
The Mudvayne album cover.
It is COVID particles being spread at a meeting, basically.
Ah, that's very appropriate for what we're about to talk.
That's your interpretation of it. It's not an actual scientific model.
I believe it is a scientific model. I believe that's exactly what it is. It just
shows. Where did you get that from?
Google.
Okay, it's not a scientific model.
Dr. Google.
How do you know? Are you a scientist, Noah? What is your expertise here to deny the science of this particle spreading?
Dr. Noah, what do you find fault with this picture?
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor.
The particles aren't actually blue. Is that the issue?
We don't know
either
that.
So this past Saturday, now, Tompkins Square Park, a little backstory, famous, perhaps infamous park in the East Village where punks hang out. A stone's throw away from where CBGB's used to be. So this is kind of like the park where everyone would go get hammered and then walk over to CB's. It's not that. It's not necessarily right next door, but it's easy of a walk.
It used to be way grosser, too. Let's also say.
Yeah, it's very gentrified now, but it used to be like the junkie park.
But that's true, yes.
It is still kind of crust punky, though. Mm.
That's true. If you were there after dusk, you could procure any type of narcotic you
would
want.
I don't think it needed to be after dusk. I worked literally across the street from it, and there were junkies nodding off, walking around at all hours of the day.
It was perpetual dusk in Tompkins.
Yeah. Yeah,
there you go.
So, and another thing they would have is there's a band shell, and they would have shows. They would have all types of shows, not just punk shows. There would be folk shows. There would be... like, I believe they have like a Halloween dog costume contest there. So, you know, it's a pretty, so anywho, this past Saturday, I
Babka
did not.
Doesn't do heroin, so they wouldn't let her.
This is the Tompkins Square Park travelogue segment of the Metal 5K.
So it was pretty wild to see photos in my feed on Saturday of like, hey, just walked into a hardcore show in Tompkins Square Park, and the video is essentially 2,000 to 3,000 people. Just the majority, I will say at least 70% maskless, the majority of which piled up together in front of the stage as if COVID never happened. Moshing, stage diving, 50 people on stage to the side of Madball, which I never understand why so many people want to stay on stage. You can't hear shit on stage. It's like the worst place
Madball is playing, that is the best place to be. Because you don't have to hear Madball.
So naturally, this was a controversial thing. Now, my initial reaction, I want to say I'm vaccinated. I'm fully vaxxed. As of this week, I'm safe. And if I saw this 2 or 3 months ago, I would have been much more upset than seeing it now. But I still feel personally that it's a bit too soon. This could have waited a few weeks. Like we're almost at this max vaccination point. And it was very clear, even the promoters have said, that it was impossible to track, you know, who has the vaccine. They did none of that. It's just a public park.
When I was reading up on it, I couldn't quite understand. So this was a free show, and it was open to the public.
Yes.
So anyone who walked through the park could essentially attend the show.
Correct.
Okay.
Here, there's actually a walkthrough. We could actually see. Here, let me set up a little screen share here. There's plenty of video. So, make sure I'm doing it correctly. Here we go. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
So this is, here we go. There was a punk concert at Tompkins Square Park. So you're walking into the park. You see this little table.
Merch,
little Black Lives Matter buttons, which is nice, a little counteracted by somebody that got on stage with a dumb shirt. But anyway, so you walk in, and like, there it is, masses of people, a stage.
It's just like a normal, like, fest show.
Yeah,
I didn't
like,
think there was anything going on.
You would think this footage is from 3 years ago based on how few people you see with masks.
Yeah.
Or the chin mask. So here, it's just way too many people. And this is interesting. Here is a suggested donations tent. We'll get to that in a sec. So this is basically true. And then there's other footage as well. Let me, so this is the pit here. Like, and here's the clip that's really been surfacing that like people are seeing. I'm just going to mute it so that we don't get a copyright strike here. But here's the footage of Madball playing Set It Up and just, I don't know. A little too soon.
Yeah.
Well, it's just illegal, right? This wasn't illegal.
It's not
illegal.
They filed for a permit under false pretenses. That's illegal.
Well,
and having this many people at a gathering,
yeah,
I don't think is allowed. Right,
yeah, you're only allowed a maximum of 500 people at an outdoor gathering.
Oh, when I read the guidelines, it said like 30% of the capacity.
No, it was 20%, but the maximum is 500 people. Believe me, I've been reading stories about this. Well, it's my job, Noah. It's news. This is unquestionably news.
It's news, and it's arguably about music in its certain technical sense.
And so the big controversy to come out of this is like, this was a city permitted show. They got a permit for this. They had to have a permit because there was a stage. They had to get a permit to do sound and just to perform in a public park. So how did it happen? And now the Parks Department yesterday, because this happened on Saturday, started an investigation on how it happened. And during this, as the story broke about the investigation, that's where the clarification came that the amount of people that could be in one location outdoors by these guidelines is 500. And
even with the 500, social distancing and masks are required, which is in no way being enforced. And so they said it's being investigated. And then, so there are conflicting reports now here, because WPIX, which is a local news outlet, has said that they saw the permit, and the permit that the hardcore promoters filed lists the event as a September 11th memorial and described
that,
it
hey,
as,
we're trying to kill as many people as died on September 11th.
And the description said it was a political rally with music and speakers, and that they expected 100 people.
They meant the speakers, as in the speakers that the music were coming out of, right?
And I guess, so, like, legally, if they say they expected 100 people and then 2,000 show up, they could just be like, well, we said we didn't expect 2,000. What are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Right? Is that like a legal defense they can use?
That's basically what they said. I'll read the quote in a second. They're denying this. They're saying that this is not true, that it was not a September 11th memorial. But what's interesting is Gotham has actually posted a screenshot showing that. What the promoters are saying, they gave an interview and they said, we were given a 3-page list of things the Parks Department wanted us to comply with. We complied with all of those stipulations. We were required to provide gloves, masks, sanitizer, and a clipboard if someone wanted to voluntarily provide contact tracing. We provided 2 tables with all the necessary supplies. We cannot enforce rules. We can't. We're not the police. Even the police said they can't enforce. So here's the thing that I don't understand. If you can't enforce the rules, doesn't that mean the thing has to get shut down? Like, just purely from a practical standpoint.
So
like,
why
obviously nobody
shut it down?
That's a great question.
Well, maybe
they don't
actually inspect each and every event that happens. Like, they
but there were police there. Why didn't the police do anything?
Come on, the police. Most likely.
Wouldn't it be a different department? Why would it be the police? What's the department that they filed the paperwork with?
The Parks Department.
So shouldn't that be?
But who enforces the law? A park ranger or like if? But here's the thing: like, if a police officer sees that there is a large illegal gathering, just purely in practice, like zooming out of this, don't they have, like? Isn't it their job to do something? Isn't that what I'm told? Isn't that what we're told?
There was another piece of that statement, Rob, that you didn't read. It was, of course it was a 9/11 memorial. Everybody there had box cutters. I mean, they just carried them around.
I'm just reporting the facts here. It was a very much an old New York thing. Like, I saw so many people. First of all, Vinny Stigma was there, definitely. He was posing for photos.
R.I.P. Vinny.
But,
I hate to see it.
Obviously, and of course, his brother is the singer Madball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Freddie is Vinny Stigma's brother. What's so funny is, like, my Facebook has come alive with people I haven't seen in like 12, 13 years that were posting photos from this thing, and I'm like I haven't, like, Facebook hasn't shown me anything from this person in years, but like it just algorithmically knows. That this is something I guess I'm interested in, and it's mind blowing how many people were there.
It's algorithmically trying to alter your reality.
Whoa. But they were there. They were really there, though. It's not like they weren't there. And I think the thing that kind of made me roll my eyes is John Joseph.
Never trust someone with 2 first names. Rule number 1.
Jingleheimer Schmidt. Go ahead.
Is that his real name?
Yes. His name is my name. All right, never mind.
He said, he goes, for the last year in New York City, there were protests. Tens of thousands of people in the streets, some rioting and looting, engaging in biased attacks. Nobody said shit. Really? Nobody said shit? The media condoned it. On 420, thousands filled Washington Square Park sharing blunts and weed pipes with no masks.
Yeah, Rob,
again,
you were there.
I was not there. Again, nobody said shit.
Rob doesn't share. He's not a fan of that kind of share.
I'm still a little paranoid about sharing joints, even though I'm vaccinated. I'll bring joints for everyone, but one to a person for now.
Yeah, you keep saying I'm vaccinated. I mean, there's like 93 different new strains of COVID that are flying around.
And you could also be, you're not vaccinated from hepatitis.
Good point.
First of all, there's this, there, none of the strains have shown to like provide like deadly infection to someone vaccinated. At most, you're like mild symptoms or asymptomatic.
I'm not saying anyone who's vaccinated should not be vaccinated. I'm very pro-vaccination. I just think it's one tool.
Yeah, it's not over yet. I understand. I'm just, anyway. This, so he continues. This was our fucking protest. This was our rally. People came out from all over the country and enjoyed live music. Those who didn't want to come stayed away. Nobody missed their ass. They were free to live in fear, hide under the table, and talk shit on social media. Okay, fine. A few people got mugged on the M4 coming on over there, but so what? That's circumstantial evidence, collateral damage. It just kind of blows my mind that he's basically, it sounds to me, I don't want to put words in his mouth. It sounds to me like he's criticizing these protests that happened last year as something that shouldn't have happened, but then saying, well, that this thing that I think is bad happened, so I'm going to be allowed to do this thing that you think is bad. You know what I mean? Like,
and that your shitty hardcore show is as important as, like, civil rights protests.
Yeah.
I don't remember a mosh pit at the Black Lives Matter protest.
I remember lots of people wearing masks.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the cops fucking with them anyway.
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, Sid, when you really break it down, though, isn't, like, black people being murdered by the police equally identical to 50-year-old men trading crabs in their eyelashes? Isn't that really that they picked up at the strip club? Isn't that real?
So
come on.
Gross.
When you really break it down, aren't they almost the same exact thing?
Pretty
and
much.
And equally important.
I just would love to know how the cops would have reacted if Bad Brains was on the bill for this show.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like I do wonder if those police that were there, which the promoters have said that police were there, like if this was a hip hop show. You know, would the police have acted the same way? I can understand
all speculation,
the,
Rob.
Yes, I am speculating. I didn't say.
I know, but it's just like
black people do not ever.
You're just injecting your opinion on that.
Well, it's our
isn't
like
that what
podcast.
We do? Yeah, that's the whole thing we do on this pod. I don't understand.
I know, but it's just like it's hypothetical. That didn't happen. Why don't you just talk about what did happen?
No, it's right. You know, it's hard to conceptualize black people being murdered and choked by the police. It's not like there's ever been a video
that's
of that
I said.
Or anything.
You're just saying that on this particular occasion, there weren't any black people that were murdered and choked.
There weren't any black people within like 5 nautical miles of this show.
If Rob brings up that one mosh pit photo, there was one black dude right in the middle of it. That everyone in the pit saw the black dude and immediately attacked him. I'm not speculating that. I'll let the listeners draw their own conclusions about that part of it.
It's just your opinion.
Yeah. Well,
so, okay. All kidding aside, Noah, you typically like to have a differing viewpoint than the three of us. I'm curious. Do you think the show should have went down? Do you have
Yeah. I think it's great that they had this show. Maybe there should have been a cap on how many people attended. But I wouldn't blame the bands for that. I just, like, for me, I'm disappointed in people blaming bands when, when is all of, like, we need to allow music and art to happen. And this isn't the band's fault. It's the park's fault. It's the government agency's fault who didn't put some kind of restrictions and ways of making sure that those restrictions were being met. But I wouldn't take it out on the bands.
Shouldn't the bands give a shit enough about their fans to not want them put themselves in harm's way?
Well, it's kind of like what he said. If you came out, cool, whatever. If you didn't want to be there or you were afraid of being in there, don't go.
Well, here's my question now.
He was a little bit more charged
than that.
He basically said if you didn't go, fuck off.
Yeah, but also it's one thing if it was outdoors, but everyone was on top of each other, like huffing and puffing and like that's not like it being outdoors is canceled out by how
close everyone was to each other. And here's the thing, Noah, like you're saying, like the whole argument, like a personal responsibility. If you don't want to get, if you think you're going to get sick, don't come. Right. Okay. That's fine. I understand that. But what about, okay, so this person who goes, they're fine with getting sick. What about the family members that they live with or the roommates that they have? They don't have a choice in the matter, and they can. There is a chance that they will get sick of it from this and then pass it along.
Situation.
And Rob, what about the...
But is this not... Is this? You're telling me that is an unreasonable hypothetical? Like, isn't that the whole point of the lockdown so you don't pass along...
Yes, but how many people... Okay, how many people spread the virus within their own home during lockdown when we weren't able to do anything? That's how most of the spread happened, because of lockdown.
Uh-huh.
So it's like...
Were you saying they were just passing it back and forth to each other? Is that... I mean, how
but like,
lockdown, how am I getting, contracting and giving the virus to people?
Well, I didn't hear that.
I don't follow what you're saying. You said when people were locked down, that's when they were giving the virus to each other more?
In lockdown, they showed that a lot of the spread happened because of the lockdown, because people were shut indoors, and that's how COVID was spreading.
It was spreading.
But how did they get it, though?
How did they
bring
it
in?
Indoors? Maybe they were viral.
How did it get inside? But you agree, though. Can we agree that you can pass COVID to somebody else, right? We agree on that?
Not if you're outdoors, not how you, just by breathing.
No, can I
not
interject?
Just by breathing, but if people
can I
are...
interject something here? Okay. There's a CDC guideline. It's like a rule of three. They say if you have an event, and if the event violates two of these three things, it's an unsafe event. They are outdoors, where everybody masked, and proper social distancing.
Yeah, so, two of the three have to be in effect.
Did you see the guidelines that came out today?
No.
Yeah, the guidelines that came out today do not conflict with what Darren just said. They said you can wear, if you're vaccinated or not, you can not wear a mask, but they still said that if you are in a large gathering, you have to wear a mask. And this is, by definition, a large gathering.
This is violating two of those things. It's outdoors, so that's not violating that. But nobody's wearing a mask, and almost nobody's wearing a mask.
Almost.
And they're on top of each other. There's absolutely zero.
Yeah, like you're saying the mosh pit is
not. I'm not saying the mosh pit. I didn't say that.
Like, here's the thing. I agree. Like,
I'm having an outdoor concert.
I agree with you. I don't think there's. In fact, I've considered, like, even we talked a few months ago.
And I also said, I'm not blaming the bands for this.
Well, here's where I do think the bands should have some blame, is when they see what's going on. If they were responsible, they would have not gone on with the show, but they wanted to have the show. I feel it was a very selfish act by all parties involved. Everyone knew what was going on, and nobody thought to stop it. And here's the thing.
Do you think the Oscars were a selfish act?
They no, because it's
at
all
the beginning
controlled.
Of the show that they tested everyone.
Yeah, everyone was in test. Well, I don't know what's the last.
I mean, the Oscars are always a selfish act.
Yeah, even beyond that.
Though
this year.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing.
And they weren't dry humping each other in the middle of the.
A few months ago, we were talking about how the Nets were opening up, and you can go watch basketball games if you're vaccinated or if you. And like at the time, I was like, oh, this seems like so much trouble. To go to a game, you have to go get tested and blah, blah, blah. And that's how I felt 2 months ago. Now I'm kind of like, hey, maybe I'll go to a Nets game because it's a controlled environment. This was not a controlled environment.
But it's indoor, so the air is recirculating. I would imagine you would think that's more dangerous than being outside.
Well, it's
no, because it's spread out.
It's not violating the other two things.
It's not maximum capacity. It would be spread apart.
Yeah.
They zip tie all the chairs so you can't go into another chair.
If the basketball players were sweating and bumping into you during the game, then that would be...
yeah, I wouldn't be into
they're
that.
They're bumping into each other, sweating and bumping into each other.
Yeah, yeah, but they're getting tested.
Vigorously every single day.
Nobody at this thing was tested or even... I'm not even sure if there was temperature checks. I can't say for sure, but that video showed the woman just walking in. Nobody was checking temperature. There was nothing. There was no precautions taken. And it's like, it just seems irresponsible. Like, yes, there's personal responsibility, but if you're putting on a large gathering, you have to take on, the promoter has to take on responsibility for creating the situation.
Can I ask you a question? You remember a few months ago when we started the show and Texas announced that they're getting rid of the mask regulations, mask restrictions or whatever? How come everyone in Texas is not dead? Remember how you guys were like, oh, everyone in Texas is going to die.
I don't remember saying every single person.
I don't remember saying that at all. And I don't understand how that has to do anything. Like, and also,
why are the numbers in Texas not going up? It's,
are you sure
people are?
But also more people are getting vaccinated. So that would maybe cancel
New
it
York,
out. But if they didn't do that dumb shit, it would be even lower.
Texas had 4,413 new cases yesterday.
How much did New York City have? Probably
like 6,000 or something like that. Oh, no, it's more. But also, though, 4, it could just be
325.
So, Noah, you agree that the government lies, though, right? Like, we could agree on that. So who's to say that Texas's numbers are even accurate? They could just be misreporting the numbers.
Say that any of the numbers are accurate, then.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But there are states that kind of have taken over their CDC numbers. Anyway, so you think it's fine? Like, even with the outdoor concert, like the mosh pit and whatever, that's cool. Like, you're okay with that? You don't think that's a risky scenario?
I'm not offended by it as some other people are.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that. Like,
so
I'm not going to write hit pieces on these people and report them to the FBI and have the
who wrote a hit piece? Where would it be posted? I want to look
yeah.
up for your
Lambgoat.
And also, who wrote a hit? Are you implying I wrote a hit piece?
No, I'm not saying that you wrote the hit piece. I'm just saying in general. Like, I'm not gonna like go after people who are in the crowd and admonish them for
because they're diseased.
I'm not going after.
Nobody should go after them.
They're I'm not going after
the fans or the promoter. I'm not.
Look, we have to remember when they go, you know, like you can see, good. I'm going to go to a show. I don't care if I get sick. But what happens when they go home to their Avenue A dumpster and a delivery man brings out the garbage? He may contract COVID from them. That's, you know, that's their home. They might bring it into their home, which is a dumpster because they live in dumpsters.
So, Noah, you don't want to go even after the promoter? You think the promoter should be left alone also? They're not. They don't have any responsibility.
They don't share any blame.
I don't think I care.
Wow. All right.
I don't care.
Okay.
All right.
I think you know what? I think bands who have tours lined up this summer, I think this is what they're going to be faced with. It's going to be a lot of challenges and criticism and all of that, and it's just sad to me.
Why?
Because
why do you care about that but not the other thing?
What other thing?
The thing you literally just said you don't care about.
The promoters getting bearing responsibility for it?
Yeah.
What does one have to do with the other?
It's all the same subject. So why do you care about one thing and not the other thing?
So should people have never worn masks since the beginning of this shit or no? Masks are irrelevant.
Is that what
I'm
asking? Said?
No, I didn't. I'm asking you a question. I didn't say you said that. I'm asking you, do you think masks don't do anything?
I don't know if masks don't do anything, but I also don't think that they're as great people think they are.
But they do
like,
something.
Like, I think they're unhealthy to wear for long periods of time. I think they're unhealthy to wear if they're dirty.
So people
and I see certain circumstances, and I see certain circumstances where there, it's just pointless to wear them. So yeah.
So in your opinion, people from the beginning of this to now should not have worn masks, and we would be better off.
No, I didn't say that. I wear masks.
Mm-hmm. Where you just think outdoors, it's not a big deal to do the mask. You don't think it's hazardous?
No, and Fauci was on George Stephanopoulos the other night saying the same thing.
Well, Fauci's a little.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you about that.
But
I
he's
think
giving
the
guidelines to the CDC, which is, are the guidelines that you're following.
No, he
so.
Doesn't give guidelines. To, look, all right, hold on. We're getting off the rails again.
Okay.
But I don't – I mean, like the government had one of the worst responses of any government in the world. So the fact that, but the, where the government is in error is they're not doing enough to prevent the spread of COVID, not by telling you to do things, you know, over precautiously. I mean, I feel like that's the exact opposite of the criticism of the government. Like they didn't do shit. And that was why it spread rampantly. I mean, to argue
they
that the government, the government, oh, go ahead.
They enforced lockdowns.
They did a half-assed lockdown. They did a half-assed lockdown. They opened everything up long before it should have been opened up. And while people had their businesses taken away from them and they were forced to sit on their ass and not work, the government didn't give them a fucking penny to compensate mm-hmm. them for losing that work. Like they,
right.
And then everything opened, but everything opened up long before everything should have opened up. I mean, they're doing entire sports leagues now, you know, before anything is safe.
I know, but they like how, where's the proof that the lockdowns stopped the spread?
I mean, the lockdown didn't stop the spread because they didn't do it properly.
Like, didn't infection numbers go down?
Yeah, they're
yeah, like wasn't there
a
link like when there was
lockdowns.
Like.
And okay, I'm sorry. What is your what do you think should have happened? Like, what is the proper lockdown?
Close everything except services that people need to survive, and give everybody a UBI so that they're not broke and starving to death, like other countries do.
Okay, what's the
step plan?
Universal basic income.
It's just money, a basic level of money that everyone, which,
okay,
you know,
but where would people get, okay, so then you're saying, like, grocery stores need to be open, doctor's offices, who would take, you know, like, by appointment only, and everything else closed?
I would say retail grocery stores should not be opened. I think supermarkets can be opened. Doctor's offices, health services, cleaning professionals, and stuff like that. Not restaurants. Everything should be closed.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I do remember a time in Brooklyn when only the supermarkets were open and everything
yeah.
else.
And that lasted about a month.
That was like 2 weeks, yeah. Yeah. Even. So you were
not
saying, Darren is saying.
Yeah, but you remember 2 weeks? Longer. Remember that was the period that it takes to stop the spread of coronavirus?
Listen, you know what China did? China delivered groceries to people, like preventing the need for them to go to the store. Just government subsidized food and drink and, you know, bath
China
stuff.
China is also castrating people, but
I mean, I'm not. Did I say China is like an exemplary country? You're bringing in a separate issue here. I'm saying they handled coronavirus a billion times better than the United States did. That doesn't mean they don't abuse human rights in other ways. The United States government does some things that are great too, you know, fire departments work, you know, highways. We have some very beautiful highways and parks departments, but they still have an armed militia that beats the shit out of black people. You can't say they do one thing correctly, therefore they do everything correctly. Like China took care of their people while there was a deadly viral plague going around. The United States didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we could change topics now. I think we've veered way far
off. If there's one thing we can all agree on, it's that Madball is a horrible band, right? We could all agree on that at least.
Yeah, I mean that there's a positive outcome that if a bunch of these people do contract coronavirus, there'll be less Madball fans. But
there you go.
But the problem is they have to go back to their dumpsters, like I said. And they may contact people who use the dumpster for its legitimate purpose.
Well,
Oscar the Grouch, hopefully he's wearing a mask. Crying?
I wanted to say something, but I forgot the point that I was going to make.
Go ahead. Try a little to take a minute. Now, you want some Jeopardy music?
Well, my initial reaction was like, oh, I would have considered watching the show from a distance. For that show, but then like the mosh pit and everything, but and really even that, it would be like 10 minutes and then I'd be like, all right, this is a little
it's
too crowded, I'm gonna get out of here
3 days
yeah.
later maybe, but
I watch it.
I don't even think you would.
Rob, do we have a caller by any chance?
I'd watch it from Mars.
Oh, we do. Our phone lines have, are blowing up. 315, you're on the live cast.
Holy shit, I've been on hold for like almost 40 minutes now.
What's up?
It's Jeremy.
Who's
What's
this?
Going on, guys?
Who's this?
It's Jeremy.
Hello, Jeremy.
What's up, Jeremy?
Anyone going to do a protein joke? Get out of the way now.
I was about to ask if he spoke in class today, but then I literally pulled back. I was like, no, don't do it. So go ahead, Jeremy. Do you have a thought about this New York City hardcore show or something else?
I will say, out of all the like old school hardcore bands, I actually do like Madball over a lot of them. But I don't know.
Hang up.
I get where like the both sides of the argument are. I get it, but I think it was just really poorly organized, regardless of how you look at it. I don't think they probably should have done that, but at the same time, do you really think a bunch of old school hardcore guys are going to organize a show, you know, to standards?
Yeah. When have you ever been to a hardcore show that's been properly organized?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, just to give the benefit of the doubt to kind of, like, maybe accept that maybe that's probably why this happened in the first place.
Well, look, the thing that's kind of like, you know, looking at the hardcore promoter's best interests, he's fucked himself over. He's never going to get a permit now. Like, and there's never going to be another hardcore show at Tompkins Square Park. And
I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, like, looking at it, it's like I'm kind of not surprised in a sense, I guess. Like, not to be innocent,
surprised is definitely not.
It is kind of. It seems like they probably just didn't even plan it very. Like, it doesn't even seem like it was planned very far ahead, like beforehand. It was probably just like, hey, I wonder if we can get this done. And then they went down and got like the permits. And, like, all right, let's see what we can have here. And then a bunch of people showed up, whatever. You know,
they've
been
filing the permits since November. So it took a while to get this process.
Oh, really? Well,
it kept getting pushed back.
I mean, you're right. But also the component to it, which is that, you know, things don't need to be surprising to be shitty. Like, just because I know someone is a fucking idiot and then they do some fucking idiot behavior, it doesn't serve to go like, you know, well, I'm a fucking idiot. What'd you expect? You know, like, we can still call out shitty behavior, even though we know that person's going to do some shitty behavior.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I just wanted to say, like, I'm not really surprised that was my take on it. Like, it was probably way too soon. A lot of these shows are coming out for the summer are going to be at these big amp. I don't know how big this actual park is as per where they were located for the show
but the 3,000 people being there was the limit of how many people you could squeeze in there, probably.
Yeah, that was basically the whole park, essentially.
Okay. Why so where a lot of these amphitheaters are 10 to 15 or 20,000 that are going to be having a lot of these concerts that are coming up in the summer, let's say. So,
and they actually have insurance and like union staffs, and they have to actually follow it's not some fly-by-night bullshit that a couple of idiots filed a fake permit
for. So that
would
stop the spread of COVID-19?
Yes.
That's why protocols exist, yes.
Okay.
Why do you just like roll your eyes?
I'm not rolling. Okay,
that's a ridiculous fucking statement.
It doesn't make sense. It's the same thing. If there's going to be an indoor venue with people crossing each other, like,
it's an outdoor venue.
Amphitheater.
It's an amphitheater. Amphitheater is an outdoor venue. It's like a PNC Center or Jones Beach.
Okay, but there's indoor hallways that you have to go, like if you want to go to the bathroom or to the concession stand.
They maintain social distancing.
But yeah, in the bathrooms, they close off every other stall, so there's space between people.
Hence,
do you not think
protocols? That's what protocols are.
Okay.
Rules that you follow so you don't fuck up.
Right. There's protocols, and then there's show up and do nothing.
Okay.
Don't wear a mask.
You know
and
that
fucking
the CDC
sweat and cough on
that
each other.
The whole hand sanitizer thing is like, I think they called it theater.
I've
what
used
hand sanitizer
maybe three times since the pandemic started. Who cares? That's
what does
not
that have to do with
about.
What we're talking about? Hand sanitizers are not mandatory
well,
when you go to a
show. No, constantly sanitizing surfaces and stuff like that. Like they said it's not necessary.
I mean, it couldn't hurt.
What are the protocols? Just the social distance?
Wearing a mask, not going next to each other.
Yeah.
COVID tests. To each other. Temperature checks, COVID tests from taken within the last day. Did I say social distancing? Mm-hmm. Like, don't you think if you do those things, you have less of a chance of contracting
yeah.
a virus from somebody than if you're crowd surfing on top of their sweaty bodies?
If someone has yes. the virus.
Right. If someone
it
has
is it. There.
Yeah.
And if you check them for it and make them show a COVID test or antibody test or a vaccine card at the door, there's a much less chance that they'll have it versus if you just let 3,000 crusty heroin addicts go in and fucking surf on top of each other.
Yeah, nothing is 100%. I think that it's just levels of risk. Yeah. Like this is high risk. Whereas doing all that stuff lowers the risk, lowers the possibility. It's
also,
all possibility risk.
That's a good point, Rob, too, because I hear a lot of people say, well, you can't, this isn't going to stop it, so don't do anything. Like, you know, no. Like, you look, I locked myself in a tomb for 10 months, and I still got COVID. That doesn't mean that it was wrong for me to do that. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? I could have caught it on the first day if I didn't do all that stuff. So it's a risk. It's like Rob said, it's lowering levels of risk. And that's what stops the spread on a macro level, as opposed to, you know, you're not trying to stop it 100% from, it's impossible, but you're trying to stop it in the aggregate, lower it so it doesn't spread to, and the less people it spread to, the quicker it goes away.
Yeah. And then we could get back to just being normal and having shows like that.
We can get back to Mad Bull shows just spreading hepatitis C, yeah. like Sid said.
And Rob ignoring them completely and not posting about them at all.
That's not true. I write about them. They're in the regular rotation when they release songs and stuff.
Why?
Because they're a band and we write about music.
Should social distance.
Is Jeremy still on the line?
Them. Hello, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What
we
else got
also, real quick, the reason that – this was probably a really poor timed, regardless of it being outside, is because from I can't remember where I heard it, but there was a doctor on some show I was listening to that the reason that there's been so many huge spikes is because of obvious, like around once the weather gets colder from fall into winter, now we're getting into spring, but we're just getting into spring, especially up where I'm at, where the weather's fluctuated from like, anywhere from like 70s to 30s, like in the past 2 weeks. So a lot of times where the colder weather is, there's going to be more people prone to being indoors, regardless if they go outside or not. They're going to be indoors probably in closed spaces more often. So that's why around the time that like Thanksgiving hit this past year, you saw a huge COVID spike, especially around the holidays, and then it just hasn't really recovered because it's one big holiday after another, and there hasn't been, at least in the United States, there hasn't been a whole lot of restrictions going forward as the vaccines keep rolling out. So I'm thinking probably right now it's because I was surprised that, like, looking at on my weather app, it shows like a daily case count and like death total for like the entire state of just New York itself, and it's just like I'm surprised with the whole state is almost like half vaccinated at this point, like, and there's still that much of a like a higher rate of infection. So I don't know, I think once but the point that I was trying to make is that the doctor said that realistically, until more and more people are vaccinated, there's going to be a higher risk this virus, especially now just coming out of the colder weather where more people are prone to be inside. It's going to be preserved. The heat's not going to kill it, things like that. So just things like that for people to kind of take into account possibly.
Okay. Yep. Well,
thank you, Dr. Jeremy.
Thank you, Dr. Jeremy.
Well, Well, my mom's a nurse, so she's kind of kept me up to date on some of the stuff.
We appreciate it. Thanks, Jeremy. We're going to let you go because I think we have Colin on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Colin. Yes, Colin, are you there?
Yes, I do. Yes, I am.
What's up,
you
Colin? What do you have to say? Yeah, we hear you.
Are you in the bathroom?
Oh, number I did one take a shower, if that's what you were wondering. and I heard you about the lockdowns, Noah. I'm like, lockdowns are for a frickin' reason. They stop the spread. They stop people from frickin' congregating.
Mm-hmm.
And they're... it pisses me off, these anti-vaxxers. People who think...
All right. Thank you, Colin.
No, but
I agree with
Colin.
He really said it all there, didn't he?
How's everything else going, though? Have you gotten vaccinated yet, Colin?
Yes, I already have. I already got my first shot.
Nice.
So you're not vaccinated. Lie. Fake news.
I'm half vaccinated.
You're half in the vax. Which brand?
Half in the vax.
Which brand did you get, Moderna or Pfizer?
Or
Johnson & Johnson.
Well, he said he got his first
one. Yeah.
Or did you somehow get the AstraZeneca? Did you go to Canada?
Yeah, that's in Europe.
Yeah, it's in Canada, too.
We're
giving our allies all the craps that we don't approve for our citizens.
I signed up to get the Tropical Fantasy virus vaccine.
Very affordable.
Yeah, it's cheaper. And it's neon yellow colored. Comes with a bodega cat.
And your pants smells like raspberry after you get it.
Yeah. Mm. No, that's Jarritos.
Colin?
Yeah, still here.
So, yeah, which vaccine did you get? Did we get the pants?
I got Moderna.
Oh, Moderna. Okay.
We're Vax Bros, Colin. That's what I got also.
I'm Team Pfizer over here. This is Team Pfizer. Not that it matters.
Shit.
They're all basically the same.
My mother got Johnson & Johnson. Like, her doctor said get Moderna, and then she went to the vaccination station, and some jerk off, like, gave her a flyer that says, if you had COVID, you're supposed to get Johnson & Johnson. And she just went, oh, okay, and just followed it. So she got the Johnson & Johnson. I was very upset about that. They said that there was some info floating around that, like, if you had COVID, it's better to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
I have not heard that.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm of the mind that any jab you get is a good jab.
It's better than not getting it, but I wish
they will all prevent you from dying. They will not die at most
from dying
to get
of COVID.
Of dying of COVID, yes.
Yes, that's true.
You still get hit by a car, yes.
Still get stabbed to death outside a Matt Hall concert. I'm not going to protect you from that. Unless you, like, pad your shirt with, like, phone books. That's a good, that might help. And it doesn't
matter
what kind of phone book. Just, do they make phone books still? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. That's a good question.
They do?
They dropped them off in my
yeah,
building.
But how would you be able to put them in your arm?
They're about as thin as a like a matzo cracker now. They're like
yellow or white.
It's like both in one book, like
maybe that
would
save you from the
tear out the pages.
But, like, there's no more landline phones
yeah.
or like landline phone numbers.
Oh, no.
That's why it's so thin. Yes, it's, Colin.
Go ahead, Colin.
I just said just tear out the pages.
I don't understand that joke, but I'm going to laugh anyway. It's like the book of famous Jewish sports athletes. It's like that big. Now I'm going to see it.
It's very small for those who are not watching. Just listening.
That's the joke.
Came across.
All right, Colin, thanks for your call, buddy.
Enjoy the rest of your bath.
Already showered.
Are you dressed?
Oh, he's gone.
Oh,
we didn't need the answer to that, Sid.
I need the answer to that. for later.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's move on to some more important news.
Ooh.
Legendary drummer Carmine Appice embraces his gray hair at age 74.
Say his name correctly, you disrespectful piece of shit.
Carmine.
Carmine.
Called him a pussy. Come on.
They both, him and his brother, say it differently.
Really?
Carmine,
yeah.
A pussy.
Which is the one we interviewed?
Carmine.
Okay. All these guys. Are
I thought crazy. I thought he said Apogee for.
Rob, can we get this straight? Which a pussy did we talk to?
Oh, come on. Let's show a legend some respect. Let's see how this interviewer says his name. Oh, look at these graphics.
Oh, he was in Vanilla Fudge? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'd say highlights. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, they just get into it. Someone introduce him.
Why don't you pull up the interview that you did with him?
Oh, that won't solve anything.
That was on audio.
Bring up that time he was on Fallon.
Bring up the one that Frank, the interview Frank did with him at
him?
Yeah. If anyone,
I won't show anything. He just said how hard he was working the whole time.
Oh, it's Noah.
Oh, what?
Hello, Noah. I was there.
I'm here with Brian Wickman of Schecter Guitars. Brian is one of the masterminds behind this elaborate Schecter booth. Totally awesome.
There we go.
No, you're the proto Aubrey Plaza.
The tuning needs. All right. I'm here with the legendary Carmine Appice. And we're here,
okay.
Here to talk about your signature series drum. Here.
It's actually a peach. The C is a ch sound.
A beach. Gabish.
And he's a peach.
These drums, these snares, they're going for $400 a peach. Is that right, what Frank said, a piece?
Yeah, and then I guess Vinny calls himself Vinny Appice or whatever. Like, that's how he introduces himself, his brother.
Can he get a name that everyone can just say, like Carmine Smith? Like, come on, man. Let me make it difficult for everyone.
Carmine Pasabini.
Oh, whatever his name is.
No, bro. Anywho.
Pasabini, whatever his name is.
I do want to say Frankie Palmieri did post a palm in hand emoji to the news of the Tompkins Square Park.
He was just upset that he didn't get booked.
Yeah.
I think you mean a Palmieri in hand. Face Palmieri.
Wait, why did you bring up Carmine?
Oh, right. We were talking about his... we're just all over the place here.
Yeah.
There he wasn't wearing a mask. That's what it is.
The big story, Carmine Appice is embracing his gray hair at age 74.
Well, good for him.
Except not in his mustache.
Well, it hasn't faded out yet.
Yeah.
He says, tired of dyeing my hair black and purple. What do you think regarding my new image? Let me know. At least I have hair, right?
Fuck you, Carmine. How dare you shame people without hair? How dare you, sir?
I don't know that's real either. Maybe in 10 years he'll go on Twitter and be like, I'm tired of wearing these hair plugs.
No, that doesn't look like hair plugs. I think he looks good.
He looks great. So when I saw this, I thought, that hair shape kind of looks familiar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob, I feel like if you kind of like let your hair grow without trimming it, you could like have that available to you.
You think me and Carmine Appice have the same hairline?
Carmine looks like if you and Don Imus had a son. It's terrifying.
Oh, geez. That's a good point.
Oh, man. Look at this. Let me load up this photo of a young Carmine looking like a star. I wish I had that going on.
That does kind of look Rob-esque, to be honest with you, if you let it grow out.
You could still have that hair.
I'm almost there right now. Go ahead.
Robert Pasapici or whatever his name is. So whatever his name is comes in handy here because we don't technically know what his name is.
Oh, the man's had quite a career with Ozzy.
Who's that lady? Is that Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's his wife. His wife?
No. No.
Ugly.
So you guys are on a first name basis.
Sure.
Basis. No, I just read.
Leslie Abige. How dare you call her that? Don't call Leslie a beach. She's a lovely woman.
And I did want to talk about this before we. I don't know how we haven't mentioned this yet, but you know, weed. I don't know if you guys know this, but marijuana is very popular nowadays.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, it's legal in a bunch of states, and now celebrities are getting into it. Including
just now, they weren't into it before.
Celebrities, I'm sorry, to be clear, celebrities are getting into marketing it more so than previously. Obviously, Snoop has been marketing it since day one, Cypress Hill. But now other celebrities are getting in on it, like Jaleel White, a.k.a. Steve Urkel, who has announced a partnership with some big weed brand to do Purple Urkel, which promises the highest quality purple weed in the world. Now, I want to say my favorite type of weed is purple haze, and it's very hard to find. I feel like not a lot of people do it anymore. So I'm curious. So anyway, there's some videos, and it's just like, this is almost, I mean, I've talked about this before, how I'm not the biggest fan of weed culture. Like, I enjoy it. I medicate with it, but I'm kind of turned off by people making their whole lives about it.
I got it. I'm the same way with like Marvel movies and Disney. Like I enjoy these films, but I don't want to be an adult Marvel fan. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like case in point for 420, Sid was like, send me a photo of you with a lot of weed to post on our socials. And I didn't even have one. I was like, I had to struggle to find anything because I don't even, you know, I'm still on that mindset from when I was 20 of like, you can't have any evidence of your pot use because, you know, the government's going to come after you, which now, obviously, especially because of my skin tone, I really shouldn't worry much about it because really it's only Darren that's going to get the heat.
No, you got arrested too. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's, pardon the pun, it's baked into your DNA that you get scared of the cops.
Yes.
You think that now that weed is being legalized in states and probably even more states will legalize it, do you think it's going to become like too trendy?
It's already there. I think it's a, one thing that I like about it is that it's
gets
made it, well beyond that. One thing that I like about the weed trend, the legalization, is that it's made alcohol less cool. You know, I feel like more people are comfortable with saying, oh, I don't drink. I'll smoke a little bit. But and I feel like before that was very much like, oh, you know, but now it feels much more accepted.
What
I don't know what that was.
Before,
I don't.
Gag factor porn. What it was before, apparently. All
right, we didn't need a.
But anyway, now we got Purple Urkel, and so there is this one video. This is how I was introduced to Purple Urkel, and it's pretty wild. So it's, for our audio listeners, it's a video of Jaleel White, the actor who portrays Steve Urkel in full Steve Urkel garb as a 40-year-old man or whatever, however old he is.
Looks exactly the same.
Looks exactly the same, hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
I got some good weed. If I ain't like him like that, I'd take that nigga whole sack right now. But I like
him. Take my sack.
Oh, and that's a cut.
They were very happy about that one. So, and then there's this whole, like, promotion.
So back up. So he's doing these, like he's promoting this as Urkel.
Yes, which is almost like how did, doesn't like whoever owns the right to Family Matters own the character? Like how are they getting away with that?
Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe okay. He owns the character.
Maybe
yeah.
The cops that didn't arrest Madball should be going after Urkel.
And
you're
also,
right,
Rob, he didn't say, did I do this?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Also, he's not saying he's portraying Urkel, but there's certainly a gray area here.
Well, it's called Purple Urkel.
Yeah, exactly. So here's another bit that they did. It's Snoop Dogg showing up at an office. Okay, so the bit, I'm going to fast forward a little because this goes on. And the bit is like, who is this crazy person inviting him to be a part of his weed train? And it's Urkel.
Neither do I.
What the fuck?
Oh, did that?
Hold on. Steve, Nigga, you run Trimmer?
It's a side hustle. My cheese factory in Belgium actually is more profitable. Snoop, the reason you're here is Trimmer Fight Club.
Oh, and they were also promoting these dumb fights, I guess.
Oh, God.
I was going to ask you, where's the weed thing in this?
It here it is. Here we go. Sorry.
I want to know more about the MMA.
Did they only call Urkel for this because Dustin Diamond died?
Well, what would it be called then? Dusty Diamond? What would the strain be?
Well, say what?
Screech Tiva?
Steve Urkel got his own. Indeed. Purple Urkel. I manipulated the flavonoid to enhance the purple
aesthetic. Save all that shit. Let's spark up one. Oh, you ain't fucking around.
That's a fat joint.
I should warn you, all of my strains have extreme potency.
Man, the stranger the strains, the stronger my game.
Why?
How did his voice stay the same?
I just didn't want your contract invalidated because you were impaired.
Say, Mike, I'm the big boss dog. When I smoke, the weed get high, nephew.
Yeah, Snoop no longer can get impaired. Anyway, you get it.
I thought Snoop was famous. How does that video only have 80 views?
This is a repost. This is somebody just reposted the video. Because this is from a pay-per-view. This is that weird fight pay-per-view. It is interesting how, like, there's all these celebrity strains. Like, Seth Rogen has his strains now.
That makes sort of sense.
It makes sense, but a lot of people are doing, it's like the new licensing thing, which is like,
it's like an NFT, but that you could smoke.
It's more valuable to me than an NFT, I think.
I think it's great that Jaleel White can use something that he did so many years ago today and still make money off of it.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, especially because it hindered his career for so many years. Now
yeah,
it's kind of.
He would have had a great career otherwise. Come on.
Well, he completely wasn't able to get any work after, for the most part, because of it.
Yeah,
really,
but
I mean, I guess he wouldn't have had a career. Yeah.
Cool when you can do the same thing for like 12 years with the exact same people and make money off of it, you know, the same type of entertainment repeatedly.
Yeah, I wish we could do that. he is, I think, like a bit of a social influencer, like even before this. I think that's why this weed company got with him, because he has a show about, like, he's an avid pot smoker or was an avid pot smoker before this.
Wait, so you're saying Steve Urkel didn't actually design this weed in a laboratory?
That was Stefan Urkel.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I wonder how many people get that reference that listen to this show.
Hopefully not many.
Myra. Wait, what was the name of the girl
Myra
that he played?
Girlfriend.
Yeah, but he played a girl once. Like,
oh,
it was
God.
A female Urkel.
I don't remember that.
That I don't remember.
Latrice Royale, I think, was her name. That was that's a reference just for Rob.
All right. I wonder... Oh, so they have a strain called Stefan, which has white leaves in it. It's a white hybrid or something. I'm trying to find price. I guess they wouldn't have prices here because it's based on wherever you would get it.
The female Urkel was Myrtle Urkel, by the way.
Myrtle Urkel.
But I'm all about it. I'm all about taking a beloved 90s sitcom character and turning him into an avatar for a pot brand.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Gotta make that money.
Make that paper. Works for me.
Right. And as we wind down, I do want to mention in real estate news, a friend of the show, Steven Seagal, is selling his mansion in Arizona. Noah, I know you're in Arizona looking for a more permanent residence. Perhaps you might consider Steven Seagal's mansion.
Absolutely not.
It is a bulletproof Arizona mansion, only $3.4 million. Somebody call his real estate agent, Richie. But let's see. Actually, it looks pretty nice. It looks much less tacky than I would assume Steven Seagal.
He has a pretty shitty microwave. Look at that. It's like a...
Where is it? Oh. Yeah, it's right there in the corner. That is... That 30 is...
years old. Yeah, it looks like he just bought that at the store and just dropped it.
It's a pretty underwhelming kitchen in general. Like, there's no... Like, this...
No, there's a little, like, going enough, on here. There's some seating there.
Let's see.
Do you think he does a lot of cooking? What kind of food do you think Steven Seagal makes?
Yeah, I guess he's not using the kitchen. He's probably using that microwave more than he uses the stove. Got a little hot tub. That's nice. A little infinity pool.
Thank you for that, man.
Expansive terrace. All right. Oh, this bathroom is fancy. This bathroom is...
That's where Colin was calling from before.
Oh, that's where Colin was?
He was in the infinity pool.
There's a home theater where, that only plays Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah, I like that there's a Photoshop poster of this.
But only the shitty ones that he loves a lot. Yeah. He doesn't want to play the cliche good ones.
And only on VHS.
The thing I wonder about these, like, glass-heavy buildings is, like, can people just see inside your house? You know, like, there's other houses not too far away. Are they just seeing everything in there?
Are there houses not too far? I mean, you'd need a
telescope. Well, look here. You can see one over here.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
Binoculars. But why would anyone want to watch Steven Seagal walk through his house in a silk robe?
Nobody would, but he's selling the house to someone else, so maybe they don't want to be seen. Maybe someone would want to see them.
There's curtains, yeah, I guess.
There's a look. I guess this one has curtains. This one has curtains. This one does not look like it has curtains. Oh, a nice grill.
It's curtains for you.
He's been trying to sell this place since 2012.
Yeah, you could probably get a good deal on it. Probably get it like closer to like $2.5 million.
Oh, there's another kitchen here with a built-in microwave.
Okay,
now,
that's
see.
Better. That's
so
better.
So that one is like the party kitchen where, like, if you're serving guests, you just need a quick.
That's when Vladimir Putin is over and you want to make some hors d'oeuvres real quick.
Yeah, he needs his popcorn popped.
And when Steven Seagal is upset because he burnt his barbecue, Poon just walks over, taps him on the shoulder, and just says, gives him a very nice message. Darren,
be happy.
He's like, it's okay, Steven Seagal, we have great barbecue.
Don't worry, be happy.
You better see Richie!
All right. It's actually much more tasteful than some celebrity houses that I've seen. Clearly, it had nothing to do with that.
What celebrity houses have you been to that you didn't like?
Bobby Lupo.
Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
A certain piece of shit.
Let me find
Jim Brunzel. You ever been to Jim Brunzel's house?
I love Jim Brunzel. Mr. Jim Brunzel, he's from Minnesota.
Okay, so the first house that comes to mind with when I think tacky, although this isn't really tacky, but like gaudy, I would say more, is Maynard from Tool. Like, this is his home, and it's
more
just
that
like
Mediterranean vibe.
Yeah, and it's like this is a bedroom.
This is very like tacky Florida.
No, it's like Italian vineyard.
Yeah, but that a lot of like gaudy Florida mansions look like that. They sort of cop that.
How many gaudy Florida mansions have you been in, Sid?
I haven't been in any, but I see them on House Hunters all the time. And I roll my fucking eyes at that trash.
This is also in Arizona, so.
Jeez.
What? Nice little meditating room.
Oh.
Yeah, we know he doesn't meditate in there. We know what he does.
I wasn't sure if I'm allowed to make that joke or not.
Yeah, that's as specific as I'll get.
You
got a pool. It's nice though.
But yeah, I'm more into a simplistic design.
More into the Steven Seagal look.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really like the open floor plan and like having the glass walls. Like the more sunlight, the better. Mm-hmm. This concludes real estate injection.
Real estate hunters.
I'm not knocking Sid. House Hunters is a very addictive, mindless show.
It's delightful to judge those people.
It's so funny also to shit on the people who are trying to buy the house, like the things that they complain about. Like, really?
The fucking crown molding. People are so impressed with fucking crown molding. It does nothing. It's just a little extra piece of like fucking plywood on a wall. It does nothing. Why do people care so much about goddamn crown molding? It drives me crazy.
Because House Hunters told them to.
It's fucking everybody's in the pocket of big crown molding. I don't get it.
Shame. Live your life.
Hate it.
What?
Don't have any apartment.
But you know what you should have in your apartment? A subscription to our Patreon.
Do we want to talk about our playlist first, though?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about our playlist. You're right. Thank you. We do have a Spotify playlist called the Metal Injection Livecast Music Break. And the music break, every week, we each pick a song. And you could listen, and you could follow the whole playlist. And we have hours of music there now. You can get the link on the episode page. So what did everyone pick this week?
I picked the 1st of May because today is the April 27th and it's about to be the 1st of May. And it's a song by Jonathan Colton about the fun activities that you can do outside when it's springtime.
Were you there with us, Darren, when we saw him perform that at Dave Hill's UCB show?
Yes.
That's right. Fantastic.
That was one of the best live shows, comedy shows I've seen.
Great.
The Dave Hill explosion. We also, I don't know, were you there when I saw him interview Dick Cavett?
I think so, yes.
That
also
blew my
fucking
mind.
Tremendous, yeah.
Fantastic.
Sid, what did you pick?
I picked the song Golf Shirt by the late 90s, early 2000s pop punk band Nerf Herder, who some of you may know because they did the instrumental theme to the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But they were also a great self-deprecating, funny pop punk band.
I remember like every cool kid that used to hang out in the music hall in our high school, Rob, loved that band.
Really?
I just remember like all like the cool kids like Nerf Herder.
Huh. Nice. I didn't think that many people cared.
No, what did you pick?
I picked the song Gloomy Sunday by Paul Bearer, which is a cover song that was made famous by Billie Holiday. And it was originally by a Hungarian pianist, and the song...
A Hungarian what?
Pianist. And...
P-N-I-S.
The song is about a person who wants to commit suicide after their lover dies, but the original is more about, like, the... the tragedy of war, but there's an urban legend around this song that people who commit suicide listen to it. So it's also referred to as the Hungarian suicide song.
If people listen to it, they'll kill themselves?
Or that
because I would put a Muir in that category.
All right, everyone, go listen to the Metal Injection Livecast Spotify playlist.
Yeah, the Livecast curse.
All so right. You want us to lose listeners, yeah.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it, because, you know, like there's a lot of talk about Billie Holiday. The BBC banned her originally when she did this song and she put it out. It was, you know, like most of her music was very controversial. And it took like 60 years for the BBC to lift the ban of her recording of it.
Damn. Hope she wasn't banned from all BBCs.
Oh. I get it.
I don't.
Google BBC.
Go on Pornhub and look that up.
Actually, no. Go on Urban Dictionary and Google BBC. Don't just Google BBC.
Okay, while I do that, Rob, why don't you tell us about your pick?
Sure, my pick actually was recommended to me.
Oh,
by...
I know what it is. I don't even have to look it up.
Okay. Noah, shut that down quick.
I'm not even going to put the search in. Sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
Are you scared, Noah?
No.
I do want to point out it is a problematic trope, so we don't need to promote it.
BBC.
My pick actually came from a fan who recommended a livecast listener named Chris, who recommended this band Big Black Delta because he said it reminded him
of BBD.
Of
BBD. Is this on purpose? Like, how did this happen?
The
magic
band Big Black Delta, Hugging and Kissing is the song, and he said he recommended the song to me because it reminded him of Nightclub, which I got him into. So I was very happy.
You got him into a nightclub?
He got into the band's Nightclub, which is a wonderful goth rock band that I cannot speak their praises enough. Or I guess
did we have the guy on the show, on the podcast?
Yeah, right? Yes, yes. A live cast alumnus. And so Chris recommended this band, and I really liked it. And so I figured I would throw it on our live cast playlist. Not
it's just
metal.
A dirty black Delta.
Also, by the way, there is a band called Dirty Black Summer, which is interesting.
Band's a cover band?
No, it's just a band. It's like Godsmack. Nothing to do with Alice in Chains. So, anywho, those are our picks. And before we go, I do want to call out the top livecast fans of the week. I mentioned the Patreon. In addition to our $5 tier, we have a $10 tier, which gives you all the $5 perks, and you get a shout out at the end of the show right now. And I'm going to do this like I'm a hardcore singer.
Oh, no.
And these are my in-between songs.
This is like you demanding the New York Circle Pit.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, this is your last chance to dance.
Away from the mic.
Oh, okay, you're right. Okay, Eric. Did you hear that or did that get blown out? Do I need to give Eric a second chance?
Sir, can I see your permit for this live cast? Oh, God, sorry.
I want to see all the Robert Ganoush, all the Justin, all the Benjamins circle pit for me. This next song is L. Dudorito. I want to dedicate this next jam to my boy, Dan R. Thank you for bringing me Mindy Mayer's Kipper. This next band is called Croc Destroyer. Just Sam. Then, give it up for Jander. Give it up for Jesus Associates. Give it up for the crustacean sensation, a.k.a. Gustavo.
I like how you said a.k.a. A-G-A.
A-G-A.
That the K is a G.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Give it up for my...
Is Babka still on the couch?
No.
She's probably terrified right now.
Okay.
No, she's at the table.
A gay.
Okay. Give it up. I want you to take care of all the girls in the pit, including Ash Bozilov. Don't grab their titties. Go get a date. A lot of titty grabbing, I feel like.
Talking about problems.
I guess more crowd surfing. Well, I'm saying don't grab their titties. What do you mean? I'm not the one being problematic.
Titties, the problematic words.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
Titties, baby?
Breast to udders.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Make sure to check out our next show. It's in Dallas. Playing with Robert Vampiro. And hey, Hugo, you like tacos? All right. We got Lando Deggs, Perilous Patches,
This next one is called Scooby-Doo 182, and your last chance to dance is Douglas. Who are you, Levinson? Okay, all right.
Scooby-Doo 182 does sound like a band that New York hardcore members would be in. I mean, not a band, like a gang. Like, yeah. what was the God damn it. There was like some gang that they were all in, but I can't remember. FSU. Fuck shit up.
Oh, okay.
FSU and BTD, I think. Beat Them Down was another one.
I was going to say the King's Highway Boys.
That's right.
The Warriors. The Warriors. All right. That's all for tonight. We will be back.
All
next
Elite
week.
Scooby-Doo.
The Yeshiva of Flatbush Whackers. I was in that gang.
Flatbush Whackers.
And I want to...
Oh, no. Did you just call Noah a Flatbush Whacker?
I didn't call her anything.
I think I called myself that, Sid.
Oh.
I do want to recommend a little homework for everyone for the next week. While you wait for the next episode, practice a little more Mando. And also, a new bonus episode is coming to our Patreon this Saturday. We're doing another episode of the Live Cast Hall of Fame. Who are we talking about? We did a Queen of Vagina. We did a very deep dive into her vagina.
Deep dive into vagina, yes.
And who were the other ones that we
Perp
we
Walk
tackled?
And their song Havana.
Oh, yes, and we learned so much.
Right, and right. Vagina and Handicaps.
Yes.
It was a theme of our famous women mimetics on this show.
Delightful.
So
honored the women.
For that. And there's plenty of other great stuff. And until then, we're out of here. I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Me and my wife are very well trained in Momando.
Happy 1st of May.
Okay, that was great.
Only 11 minutes past 8. Sorry, Noah.
Oh, man.
Okay. I'm just going to take my computer and go somewhere else.
Okay. All right.
Clips, the thing with Carmine's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Seagal's house versus Maynard's house.
There was something also in the end. Oh, I liked, I don't know if it could be a clip, but the Spotify playlist thing.
With what? What part of it?
Where you had something close to what I said. Sorry.
The BBD BBC.
Oh, BBD BBC. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we could promote the playlist with that. That works.
Beautiful.
I thought that was funny.
Okay.
Okay, cool. All right.
I'll send it to you as soon as it's
up. Bye, babies.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye.